Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic and get ready to sway.
That'd be such a great story.
I would love that to happen, but you never know.
That'd be like all of the sadness I got from when Caleb Haney turned out to be shitty. I could channel all of that underdog love into the Bulls.
We gotta have like John Lucas III come out and become like the most amazing player ever.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
His older brother George.
When he sees a lot of playing time, he proves to be just okay.
He's a scorer. That's it.
Yeah,
he can't pass. He can't handle the ball very well.
It's all we got.
Well, it's not that.
But CJ's a great, he's a good point guard.
He's a good point guard.
He's a very good point guard. That's what we need.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, man.
I guess I usually just say hey, everyone. And
yeah, I was wondering.
That's all right.
That's okay.
Welcome to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 115 of the podcast. 115. Jumpin' Bean. Have you seen Mr. Clean?
Nice, dude.
Hey, who's here? Let's start off at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's Nick.
Hey, it's Scott.
Hey, it's Castelvi.
B-B-B-B-Whoa.
C-C-C-Cloud.
B-B-B-Mark.
C-C-C-Tears.
C-C-C-Keith.
Z-Z-Z-Z-LP.
Cool. How are we all doing today, everybody?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Great.
Fabulous.
It's been a good past week, I think.
Mm-hmm. It has, I
you
think
sure
so.
You?
Yeah, we had a wonderful show at Illinois State. They welcomed us, and we also got to bring Scott along, which was great.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So oh man, yeah. I looked at apartments, and I saw Midnight in Paris.
How was
and
that?
It was Midnight. Good, except it was like terribly frustrating. It was pretty good. It was all right. I had my problems with it, but it was okay overall. Except Woody Allen is a dick.
In real life or?
In DVD life. In Blu-ray life. In that he encoded the movie in a totally different fashion than most other Blu-rays are recorded. So basically what it meant was we turned the Blu-ray on and there was no sound during any of the dialogue. And we thought it was just like Woody Allen-esque and that he's just giving us silent scenes with these characters. Yeah. But after like 12 minutes, we're like, all right, these people are moving their mouths.
What?
Nobody's talking still. I can't get meaning out of these scenes. What's up? So I had to look online and apparently this is a huge problem with every copy of Midnight in Paris on Blu-ray.
Really?
Specifically with Samsung Blu-ray players.
So were you able to watch it then?
Yeah, I had to hack into settings and change the audio like encoding options.
What do you mean hack into settings?
I mean go into settings.
Oh, so does our Blu-ray player still work with other Blu-rays?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You have to hack it again.
Right? Yeah,
you have to hack it again?
We better call
no,
RJ
it should
or
be.
D7. Because I'm not a good hacker.
Dude, can you please just hack it to Comedy Central? Colbert is on.
It should be just fine. Oh, shit!
Oh, what's it?
What?
Where's the mailbag?
Oh, let me hack for it. Oh, hack, it's right here.
Hack. Oh, that's
hold
a...
on, let me just
uh-oh.
Open
it's
it up.
It's a point. It's a point.
Oh, that's where that ended up.
That burned my underarms.
Yeah. You shake it. Oh.
Please don't say it.
Do it, whatever.
It's just a mailbag, guys.
this one comes to us from one Winnie T. Pooh.
Oh, he's a bear.
And Winnie writes, I'm a bear.
No.
Tins, you are so omniscient. That is awesome.
Omniscient?
You must know everything. So, life as a bear is pretty nuts. I say that as a bear pun because I enjoy the taste of nuts.
Oh, wait, okay.
You clarified that it was in fact a pun and not a sentence.
Yeah, Winnie T. Pooh's pretty omniscient for knowing Tins was going to know everything.
LP, I heard that. he writes.
Why are you not freaking out more about this, Mark? This is big.
And then he writes, I'm a big fan of honey. I don't know if that's a common bear thing, because I don't know that many other bears in reality. Most of my friends are humans, pigs that bounce on their own tails, or, well, tigers that bounce on their own tails, pigs whose sweaters always unravel in the fashion of that Weezer song, and a really sad donkey. But I assume if I were to meet other bears, they'd be friendly, right?
Right.
What's up with that?
Hey, wait, wait, Winnie, are you there? Can you still hear me, Winnie?
Oh, there's a little bit more of this letter. Let me pull it further out of the envelope.
Postscript?
Yes, Tins?
Weird. How will I die?
You don't want to know that, dude.
Oh, I got it. Heart attack.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was poorly written, his handwriting.
Probably from all that aged cheese.
So I can stand.
Wait! Winnie!
I don't think there's... Oh, yes, Tins?
What does it say next? Before Tin says it.
But yeah, what does it say? I'll tell you what I was going to
48 years old.
My question was, will I die happy?
Good call, good call.
So bears, huh?
Have any of you guys ever encountered a live bear?
Yeah.
Not a zoo?
Yeah, I lived in Tennessee. They're bears.
Yeah, they what did you
do? Drove past it.
I'm in the forest and there's a bear, what do I do?
No, because...
Are you trained? Having lived in Tennessee, do you get, like, do schools do something about that? Like, bear
training? They don't really because, okay, there's only, like, my woods. You know, there's woods that have certain animals. And the bears are up in the mountain woods because that's where they are. And they're mostly black bears. And, they just... Like, if you ever go to Gatlinburg, which we've gone to before, some of us.
I'm going there this summer.
In a lot of those wooded areas, if you drive up into some of the hotels that are in different places, or if you just drive around, you'll probably find a bear. Because they're just climbing around, and they cross the road like deer might, except a lot slower, and they'll fuck up your car a lot more if you already hit them, because they can't really scamper. We just saw one. It was sort of hanging out by the side of the road, being a bear, not threatening or anything. I think it was just sort of leaning against a tree, as bears are wont to do in cartoons. You don't really get any training other than, like any other animal, you know, don't provoke it, and it probably won't attack you, because they don't really have a taste for humans. And also, we're the size of them, so they're just as afraid of us, because they're not afraid of little things, they're afraid of big things.
I feel like don't provoke it and it won't attack you is like a good lesson for life.
It's like bees.
Pretty much everything.
Just about everything.
But other people...
What is the meaning of provoking? Because I can just be around and then because it's territorial,
that's true.
Provocation can start, I guess, at its base level, besides your own presence, would be likely looking at it in the eye. Would be one.
So don't do that.
That's probably like the most base level of provocation besides just being in the same area.
Yeah, like swearing at it.
Or trying to touch it. I mean, even a dog that you meet on the sidewalk, most of us know you put your hand out, with the back of your hand out for it to smell you first. And that is, you know, partly that's because, you know, a dog is inquisitive. But if you go to touch it, dogs often think you're going to hurt them. But if you offer your hand, the item that they understand is our, like, weapon, and you offer it lower than them, you are showing the dog, I'm giving you the opportunity to hurt me.
Showing the dog that it's better than you.
Yeah, you are. and then it will immediately, almost every single dog will immediately be fine with you after you offer the back of your hand to it first.
That's the secret? That I've been missing all these years?
Yes, well, if you...
Amongst other things.
Most dogs...
I'm missing a lot of things.
Most dogs, Mark, if you go up and you put your hand, like, you put the back of your hand in front of its mouth so that it can smell or lick you, so it can figure out who you are, because that's how they understand things, it will then almost immediately offer its head for you to pet it. It will smell you and then turn its head aside so you can touch it.
That just fixed my personal relationships with dogs.
If
so
you
much.
Try to touch them first, their first instinct is to back away.
Yeah.
because you're reaching at them, not offering yourself.
What always gets me, like, because I coexist with dogs, but because I can't see very well, it's very hard for me to deal with them because I don't know what they're doing.
Right.
It's not like a human. Like, most humans aren't going to just quickly bite me because my hand is near them.
I might.
But, you know, with the exception of Castelvi, like, some dogs may do that. And so it's very hard for me. And the hardest part is the dogs of people that I know very well, because they're convinced their dog won't bite me.
Yeah. Right.
And so they're like, oftentimes will just like shove their dog at me.
Yeah.
And be like, pet it. No, you're wrong about how your eyes work.
Yeah.
You can totally handle this dog.
Yeah. Mark, how many times have you been bitten by a dog?
Like most of the times that I get close enough. Because the thing is, like,
were they like nips?
What'll happen is they'll turn their head really quickly, and I move away because I'm not taking that chance.
Yeah, if they turn their head quick, they are normally either backing away or going to nip you because you would put your hand at them, not to them.
And also
dominance, that's why.
But you have to also think about how much visual information you use when communicating with a dog.
Yeah.
Because as you move closer to the dog, you watch its reaction to see when it's safe. Mm-hmm. I don't have any of that. So I'm just blindly moving closer to the dog, and then it goes, and I move my hand away. And that's most of my interactions with dogs.
Another way to show any animal, like dogs, any animal that you're trying to befriend that normally are friendly animals, you just make yourself smaller. So you get on your knees or you kneel or whatever, which is normally what children do and why children are completely unthreatening to most animals. First of all, they're the same size as most animals. And a child gets so excited when an animal comes down that they sit down. Mm-hmm. And expect the animal to come, like, play on them. And there are, like, if you ever see a girl see a dog, she's just going to, like, sit down and wait for the dog to come over. And that's what you normally do when you're trying to get a cat to come out from under the car or a cat from far away to come toward you, is you make yourself super small because cats are suspicious of everybody. And they'll only come to you if they're certain you won't hurt them, because cats just are dumb.
Cats are haters.
They are haters.
What is the nature of bears? Are bears naturally curious?
They are curious. They have, you know, more aggression because they're not domesticated.
Mm-hmm.
So they do, you know, there aren't really good techniques, which is why often, you know, they just tranquilize them when they get aggressive, because they're big. They're 200-pound monster things that can really hurt you.
Yeah.
I mean, they can break your arm by hitting you. Yeah. So but there is no... And often we don't really take a chance because you don't know how... We don't understand how quickly they can become aggressive, and they're so case by case.
The closest bear guy that I know was that guy that hung with the bears in that movie, and then... He ended up dying by getting mauled by bears.
Right.
Who? What?
The Grizzly Man.
Grizzly Man.
He's just a guy that he made a documentary. It was just him. He just went out into the wild and filmed himself like living with bears.
What?
He had no training. Didn't he have like names for them?
He had names for them, but he was not an expert.
But for the most part, he was actually pretty cool with them.
Yeah.
I mean, he lived amongst them for a while.
Yeah.
Until they mauled it.
Just then, like, they found on camera. Footage or something?
What?
They found his footage and like made this movie.
Yeah, they found he went missing and they didn't hear from him. They found his footage and then they made
probably
a movie
with
about
his remains.
Wow.
Yeah.
The
whole thing was on tape.
And they don't ever show the footage. They show his like best friend's reaction to the footage.
Yeah.
And he's just terrified.
That's
the worst. Well, the thing he was just a hippie dude.
Yeah.
He like spent his like father like put him through college through like 10 years of college because he kept switching his major and kept switching what he wanted to do. And his dad was like, "I'm not paying for anything anymore." And so he said, "Fine, I'll live in the woods with bears." And then he did.
Wow.
So this gives you a little bit of an idea of just what kind of beasts we're talking about here. I didn't realize this. Did you guys know that bears have apparently been around for up to 38 million years?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. We've had bears for 38 million years.
Yes,
and they were bigger, right?
In contrast, how long has humans, Homo sapiens?
Homo sapiens have been around roughly 200,000, 250,000 maybe.
That's it?
That's it, dude.
What?
Why are bears running the world?
You know, if you go just back one step to, like, when you change our skulls slightly, you go further.
Well, let me see.
And the bears were much bigger back in millions of years ago.
Too. Well, let's see. Homo sapiens have been around for about 200,000 years. Just the family Homo, or genus Homo, has been around for 2.4 million years. Yeah. So
upright-esque human-like people have been around for quite some time.
You can just call them homos.
Yeah, yeah. Homos have been around for like 2 million years. It's crazy.
I was watching a Discovery Channel on prehistoric bears.
What?
Wait, what? Was that an entire special just on prehistoric
bears? Well,
there was a lot to say.
It was like prehistoric animals. It was just an episode on one of them was bears. One of them was like dire wolves. Another was saber-toothed tigers.
Dire wolves are real?
Dire wolves are totally
real. Dire wolves were real.
They're not as big as they were in Game of Thrones, much to my...
How big are they?
Dire wolves are... They were about 2 feet tall and about 5 feet wide or long.
Wow.
Wide would be horrible.
Wide would be terrible.
Those are some humongous canines.
How big are they in Game of Thrones?
In Game of Thrones, they're about 5 feet tall, maybe, what, 9 feet tall?
They're like ponies.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Can you ride them?
I would ride a wolf.
Children can ride them, surely.
You ever tried riding a dog?
Sure. No, dude.
I know you have.
No, maybe I've said this story before, but like,
I think you have.
When you're a kid and you see Fudge, the 35-pound cat, and you're like,
famous
this could
cat.
Be like a horse. I can pretend it's a, like when you're like 3 or 4, and you try to like pretend the cat.
Yeah, do you have like a Beethoven dog or a Great Dane, especially,
or like a really big cat?
I've had an innate
like 35-pound cat.
I've had an innate respect and fear of animals. My whole life, because we never really had them growing up. Like, I had a guinea pig and fish and things like that, but I never had, like, a dog or a cat, because everyone in my family was allergic to one or the other. So it just didn't work out. And so, like, I'd go to friends' houses who had dogs and cats, but I never lived with...
You've also sort of gone on records on the podcast before saying you're just not really a big pet person in general, right?
Well, I think part of it had an effect in that I just never grew up with them.
Yeah.
But also my philosophy just on animals is they're not people. And
they're
for me,
they have emotions.
No. My best friends are humans. I love humans.
They have emotions.
My best friends, but they don't
have rationale or understanding of how to do like chores.
I also just
some humans though.
I think they still value even though they can't do chores.
Monetary value.
I never said that they don't have value. To me, they just don't come anywhere near the value of a human.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But at the same point, like, they have
same
a different
point.
Kind
Thank
of
you.
Value.
Well,
they
the
help
thing
old
about...
people.
I grew up in the opposite situation. We, at one point, had 5 dogs.
Wow.
Like, 6 or 7 cats. Two hamsters and an iguana.
So, how do you manage that?
Yeah. Like, there was one... I mean, and then every... all the years past that, there were, like, slightly different numbers. Like... 4 dogs, or maybe at some point we had 6 dogs, or maybe suddenly we, like, a dog had puppies and a cat had kittens, so for like a month we had just 20 animals. And
did you ever feel at any point they were a burden?
As a child, no. Until I became...
Your parents always fed them?
Yeah, but once I was responsible for them, and at like 9 and 10 and 11, like when my chores started increasing, and I already had... You know, folding clothes or dishwasher or mowing the lawn. I was starting to get chores. Mm-hmm. I had the additional responsibility of having to like feed and like clean up after and care for and visit and water and look at.
And then what was that like?
Oh, it was a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
it's like especially when you have that many animals.
Uh-huh.
They're great, but. Most of the time, they're making noise.
Who did you like the least, and who did you like the most?
I hated Garage Dog. The dog.
Tell me that wasn't its name.
The dog that lived in the garage.
Thanks, Tins.
Grumpy as hell.
Yeah, so we were running out of land to put these animals in. Like, we can't have that many animals in the house. So we had 2 dogs in the house. And, like, the well-behaved cats could come in the house. Because what happened is we lived by an interstate overpass that was sort of wooded. So people would drive by and they would, you know, drop off their dogs or cats that they didn't want. You know, they would just leave them on the side of the road.
Like crocodiles.
They would go down the hill and they would end up at our house with all these, where we have these animals together.
And so your parents felt obligated to take...
Yes, because the animals would come and, like, they would need someone to take care of them. We had a decent amount... We had a lot of land for people who came from the north where you don't have very much yard. And they suddenly had a whole acre.
Yeah.
And, like, they had... It was on a hillside and there were trees and there were rocks and stuff that scoped the land. So it wasn't, like, a huge empty land. It was very... I don't know.
Textured.
Yeah, textured. It was very different. It was very interesting. To that yard compared to these yards are completely different. So we had all these nooks where animals could sort of be. So we just started taking the animals. And then, but of course, animals have children. Like, maybe you take in an animal, and like a couple months later, you realize it's pregnant. And now you have all these animals coming along. Totally happened to us. And for the most part, you're in a southern town, so you can give them away. And they'll be taken care of. But we had so many animals.
I had no idea.
And that garage dog was just loud and terribly behaved.
Oh.
And
did you guys train them?
Not the outside ones. Or garage dog.
What the fuck is the name of the dog? Is it literally garage dog?
Did I say another name? Not only that, but it lived in the garage, so I had to like clean it like it was a pen, and it was. It ended up
no love.
Did it shit in the garage?
Yeah, it wasn't just an empty garage. I'm not describing this well.
Was there cars in there?
No. No.
I'm thinking it's where you go into park. And no. You have to avoid the dog.
The hey,
no. Parking the car, I'm going in reverse. Make sure I don't hit garage.
Okay.
No, see. It lives in the garage.
Listen, I got to describe this because I didn't do it justice because I forget. Your garages here are different than our garages there.
Yes.
Garages are storage units, not places to put your cars because the weather's nice enough where you park your car in your driveway that's huge.
So, in the north, we would call it storage unit dog.
Yes. We would call it shed dog.
Shed dog?
Stud, for sure.
Think about, like, if you have a nice shed, you can keep, like, tools, you can keep some of your old stuff in bins. And
like,
and then you
chemicals and gasoline.
So, yeah, so probably in there.
Poison.
But not, like, no, really, it's more of a storage unit, and it led to our attic, which is more storage. So we carved out and walled up. But with, like, old, like, doors and just junk, a junk pen.
Junk wall?
Yeah, junk wall. To keep in this dog. And then we put newspaper down and stuff like that in the spot of the pen. And I have, like, to go in and you basically have to, like, shovel it out or pick it up and throw it away. It was the most unfun thing to do.
Did you ever let him out?
Wait.
No, it lived in the garage, LP. It's garage
dog. So it lived how long forgetting what outside was?
I opened the garage door.
Oh,
and
so
I showed
it outside.
No, you got to look at it.
Oh, what a horrible
like movie. Even prisoners get to go outside.
I'll be honest,
it was an asshole.
I'll be honest, it would often escape. And then I'd have to chase it.
Why, if you hated the dog so much, why would you care?
It was just wanted freedom, dude.
Oh, it was their prisoner, obvious.
And so, nothing escapes off the Habersburger Rock.
Do you remember all the names of all your pets?
Or
at least what rooms they were kept in.
Garage dog, kitchen.
Let me think for a moment. I'll gather all the names that I know.
All right.
And
because I mean, pets is such a loose term for these animals that lived in Europe.
Okay, so let me go through the dogs.
Get busy. Later.
We had Timmy, Buffy, Gretel, Nick, Garage dog.
Only one that doesn't have a human name.
Right. There was like something like Katie.
So they're all people named except for Garage Dog. Who named Garage Dog?
I am assuming it was Brian.
I think I think the name devolved from the fact that it was a puppy that like no one took out of the garage. Years? Like we put a bunch of puppies in a garage, right?
It just
for people expecting people to come get them.
And that's then, the one nobody wanted.
One.
Yeah, it was the last puppy. That became the dog, but we didn't have any more yard for him, and we had these inside dogs. We had all these animals, like we couldn't do anything, and wait, we were nice to them.
He was born in the garage.
Yeah,
dude.
Wow.
So he was born in the garage. Saw all of his brothers and sisters leave.
He wasn't born in the garage. He was birthed outside and moved into the garage probably before he opened his eyes.
He's like garage dog Vito.
That was all he knew.
Yeah, he only knew.
He
saw the door open and then freaked out.
He has an 8x8 like pen thing.
Oh, that's terrible.
For his whole life.
What kind of a dog was it?
How did this story end?
Oh, it's a big black dog.
How did it end? Did he
it was,
escape?
It was.
He hung himself.
It was alive for a while.
See you in the lead.
I assume you went into the garage one day and there's just like a Rita Hayworth.
You know what happened? You know what happened, actually? Now I realize in this story I'm totally, our family's just these awful people. And we're the villains because it ends up having, he has a happy ending. When we move, he gets given away to a person with like 35 acres of land.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Oh, great.
So he
did his time.
He
he served his time and now he can live
Dude,
a good
man.
Dude,
he was born into slavery.
It was only...
He totally was!
He wasn't jailed. He made it to freedom.
He was like 3 or 4 years in the garage.
Harriet Tubman out of there, man.
Man, that's like a first degree murder's worth of time in dog years.
What's that Jet Li movie where he's like, you're my dog.
You're his dog. It's called Dog, dude.
Are you sure?
And I know, I think it's exactly what it's called.
Is it Unleashed?
Dog.
That's what
oh,
it is.
It might
Unleashed.
Be Unleashed, actually.
Garage Dog Unleashed. Was Jet Li and Unleashed.
Yeah.
Garage. I think of it only because I know exactly that line. It's my favorite line in that trailer. It is Unleashed. You're my dog! With Bob Hodgkins. Oh, there he is. Oh, I'm looking at him online.
No, but like when if I was outside and doing stuff, I would open the garage. Like the garage was open most of the time, and we did close it like at night. And but sometimes if you're lazy and you're like leaving at 3, you're like, well, I gotta close this now because I can't keep this open all night. So you're gonna be in prison, I guess. Give him food.
Yeah, you fed him.
Yeah, I gave him plenty of food. Yeah, there were toys in there. Like, whatever.
Prisoners
junk,
are no good to you,
junk.
Dead.
I mean, he was like a... You know, we just always thought we were going to give it away.
I just keep imagining him with qualities of Scar from The Lion King. He's like lurking about.
He was happy. What? He was fucking thrilled. Every time I saw him, he was the happiest thing in the world.
Because he got to see humans.
I just assumed he was always having a good time.
He was by himself all the time, yes.
Maybe he threw midnight parties in the garage and yelled at
him. Yeah, he opened the door and yelled, "Stop barking, you stupid dog."
So when you say he was misbehaved and an asshole, it was just because he barked?
Yeah, he'd bark a lot. Oh, he would break things. He would try to break the walls, I guess.
He's just trying to escape.
I know what he was trying to do, but those walls were up for his safety.
To protect him from what?
Otherwise, he would just run around outside our house. He wouldn't leave us. He would come to us for
there's
food.
Like 11 or 12 animals running around the house, but that one—that's just one too many. Yeah. He's got to go in the garage.
That's like when you say like there's not no.
There were only
an example. To
only
the other
five
dog.
Animals would ever be in the house at a time. And that was like 3 cats and 2 dogs,
like
or 2 cats, 2 dogs, and a lizard.
Did you ever
those
love
like the starters?
I loved almost all of them.
Except for garage dogs.
I really like some of the cats. Some cats just don't want to be liked.
No, that's true.
And
I can agree with that.
It's like whatever. And they're just outside cats. And then
cats
will throw like weird like surprises to you. Like we had this gray cat that would come and go. And sometimes when it came, it was super friendly. And sometimes when it came, it was super pissed off. Guess what? 2 cats that we thought for a good amount of time was 1 cat, and like cause we just saw this gray cat, and like, and that every time we interacted with it, it seemed like it was a totally different cat. It looked exactly the same, and we called it Link. And then at some point, we finally saw both of them, together.
Oh.
But they were really angry and didn't like each other. So they were like territorial over our house as stray cats.
Maybe they're evil twins.
And probably something one like that. So you know what we call the second one? Shadow. When it was being nice, it was probably Link. When it was being like really creepy, it was Shadow.
Nice.
But then we saw them together. And eventually, over time, they became friends. And they were both, we just put out more food.
So when you have strays, did you guys do anything like to prevent like rabies or disease or anything?
You're yeah. Like... We probably, if they were going to be regular cats and they were nice, we would give them their shots and things they needed.
Oh, I bet they were pissed after that.
Nicola, yeah, of course.
I gotta keep them safe. I have a question for you, actually. Speak your mind. I just thought of. So I remember I used to trick or treat like in your neighborhood because I was friends with Jen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I just remember this crazy, crazy time where we got chased by the evil dog in your neighborhood, which is like nuts. He chased us.
I was scared of that dog. Like, I hit a box.
Him the Hitler dog. What? Everyone called him Hitler.
I remember that. I don't know who owned him, but I remember like I'd be playing with my friends. We'd be playing tennis in the streets and or frisbee, and we'd see the dog running out, and we would just drop what we were doing because this dog had no sense of like willpower to stop. Okay. This dog would just jump on you, would not like lick you, play with you. He would just bite at you.
Did it have any sense of like a leash?
No. I don't know who owned this dog. It was huge. It was a shaggy dog. Was it?
It lived like right when you enter the neighborhood from is it Quinton?
Quinton, yeah.
It's like that first house, kind of on the leftish. I don't know. I remember being like smaller and dark colored.
Yes.
But it was the Hitler dog, and it was terrifying.
Yep, I hid in a box.
I'm looking up Hitler dog, and I'm putting some fun stuff in the chat room.
Oh, wait, no.
I had a neighbor who had a cat named Bitch. Who would?
That's unfortunate.
About.
Yeah, poor cat.
And it was
really nice.
All our cats had great names.
Yeah, well,
they were all the fun ones. Like they got the
Link and Shadow.
Link, Shadow, Joey JoJo Jr. Shadabadoo after the Simpsons.
Wow.
Joey JoJo for short.
Of course.
Wait, JoJo.
That was the greatest thing to do. We had one that was a Himalayan cat, and its name was It's You. So
it's you every time you walk into the room.
You know what it was actually it's you. Like it's you.
Like tissue, but it's you.
Yeah, it's you, it's you. It's just this weird Himalayan cat. There was one named Megaphone because it was fucking loud, as any cat's ever been. We had Cali Coco.
Was it a calico?
It was a calico cat that was the sister of Joey JoJo. Then there was Terror from the Deep. And then it was Mother, which was named after it to the deep. Because we found this pregnant cat and like we found a cat that had kittens. And it looked like a lost domesticated cat or something. Like somebody just dropped off their cat because it got pregnant. They were they couldn't deal with that many cats or something. But it was a very nice cat. So it was named the Deep. We had Greasy, because when it was a baby, it fell into a pot of chicken grease. Like cold, like
what's
chicken grease
doing
and water.
The bird?
Yeah.
What?
What's the pot of chicken grease?
No, not like immediately. Like, it was like 2 weeks old, and we had all these kittens, and we hadn't named them all definite things yet. And it just sort of stumbled into it. It's like, all right, that's a funny name. We'll call it Greasy. Because it always seemed a little greasy after that. Even though we gave it a bath and like tried to... It just seemed like a greasy cat. There was... Yawgmoth,
of course. Yawgmoth.
What other goofy... There are more.
What was the iguana named?
Ron Perlman.
It was Brian's iguana, so I don't remember. It was something sciency or scary.
Do you know what's great? This website catsareassholes.tumblr.com. I put it in the chat room. It's just cats being assholes. God, they're such fucking pricks.
Cats can be jerks.
So entitled is what the deal is. I had two cats. I had Itchy and Scratchy growing up. One was Itchy was awesome. But Scratchy was a total bitch.
Oh, that sounds like the characters.
Dude, it was... Well, Scratchy in The Simpsons, Scratchy wasn't an asshole. It's just like I realized that Tom from Tom and Jerry wasn't an asshole in the cartoons.
Yeah.
He's just trying to do his job.
I always identified with Tom. I always felt bad for Tom.
This mouse is just invading your space.
Yeah, he's trying to live his life.
Man.
I felt bad for Tom.
A lot of times they were the Musketeers, the Mouseketeers, probably is what the episode was called.
Yeah.
But oftentimes Tom wanted to go on some sort of cat date, but Jerry was often ruining his cat.
Oh, dates. That's right. He would be on cat dates often.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Tom was a handsome young cat.
I agree with that.
I can't imagine Tom or Jerry was all at fault. I assume that. Tom
some episodes, one person was completely at fault. Sometimes Tom was, like, doing nothing, and then just fucked up Jerry for just, like, hanging out.
The bowling episode, do you remember that one?
Maybe.
Tom's just at the fucking bowling alley bowling. Jerry ends up throwing him down the damn lane and getting him stuck in the machine that resets the pins.
It's
cartoons like those where I get really upset, and I'm like, come on, man. It's just Tom Bowling.
I always wanted Wile E. Coyote to win.
I wanted to see Roadrunner just die horribly. Absolutely.
And that's the last Roadrunner cartoon they're ever allowed to air.
I just want a series where he always loses. Just for me. I just want Wile E. Coyote to win for like 20 episodes.
It'll be like the anime where the main character dies every episode. It's just Roadrunner.
It'll just be called Suck It, Bird. It's just a wolf killing a bird or coyote killing a bird.
Do you guys
or a wolf, any fucking animal killing a bird.
With all of his elaborate ways, though.
Hilarious, like, elaborate ways to kill a bird.
Do you have a favorite way to kill the Roadrunner? Do you remember them?
That I would make up to kill the Roadrunner?
You know what?
You know, I want to
drop an anvil on his head from 50 stories high.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love those anvils.
The timing on that would just be incredibly difficult.
That's why it would be sweet.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the different contraptions Wile E would use, like, you know, like the basically the ornithopter from Da Vinci. He ordered that from Acme.
Yeah, he should have known that wasn't going to work. Like, you're a coyote. Cool. You don't know how to fly that thing.
And then he also had the rocket-powered skates from Acme with a ramp that he built, you know.
I'm always a fan of anything that used rocketry. I thought that was creative.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Strong enough to lift an entire anvil.
Yeah, a lot of
dynamite. Said something to his strength.
Dynamite and big rocks, probably.
Paint. He often used paint.
He would fake tunnel.
Yeah, he'd paint a tunnel into a wall.
But then boulders were used.
Roadrunner would magic into it, though.
He would go through the wall.
That's true. Roadrunner had magic powers.
It was just that Roadrunner, I guess, was innocent and positive. And so he would always be able to pass through.
His good nature. That was the message. His faith in Christ.
It's about faith. He believed it was a tunnel. The coyote didn't believe it was. He knew it was fake. So he was running in questionably. Yeah.
Just like you believe.
If you believe in the tunnel hard enough, it's a tunnel.
I guess that's it. If you believe that you're still walking on ground, you will still walk. But if you look down and you realize you've been walking over a cliff this whole time, you're going to stop believing
in Christ. Message.
Yeah. And you fall.
Only the penitent man will pass, yes. Oh, goodness. Yeah, I'm just looking at ways that the Roadrunner has died.
They did a TV show where they tried to recreate his methods.
No, really?
And do it.
Like a Mythbusters episode?
It was
kind of like,
it seems like a waste of time.
It was kind of like Mythbusters. Yeah, I watched it. It turned out it was pretty boring.
Nobody exploded.
I guess it's cool to be able to see people to actually test out rocket-powered skates and stuff, but
that's not going to work.
You know it's not going to work.
Right.
No.
I think they did it on Jackass.
They did do it on Jackass.
Rocket-powered.
I think somebody got their ass burned on it.
Yeah, like, well, because their just feet went out from under them, and then they fall on their back, and then fire would be squirting from their shoes.
Yeah.
I wonder if
squirting is the worst.
I wonder if anyone's actually died by a piano dropping on their head, or if that's only in cartoons.
Oh, probably.
God, I hope not.
I'm positive, you wouldn't live if a piano dropped on your head.
That should be big.
Those things are heavy.
Sounds like a big cartoon silly thing.
Yeah, they're still
dropping on people's heads.
I've slipped on a banana peel.
No, you haven't.
Wow. I have too.
Oh, what was that like?
Very embarrassing.
Was it in front of people?
Oh yeah, it was right in front of my dorm.
Oh, what? Wow, yeah. That's hilarious.
It was pretty awful, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Why was there?
Like that happened in real life.
Because someone littered.
So it just, it sounds like.
Dude, that's me. I do that all the time. I play banana peels like nobody's business.
Yeah, you
like
throw banana peels.
I set them on the ground to be too perfect. it's a really funny choice.
What if you break someone's neck that way?
It's a victimless crime.
I put it in the very center of the sidewalk, like to be as clear as possible, and I like arch it up so it's comically placed.
I want to do that now. Is it okay if I do that?
Yeah, if you ever see me leaving a place with a banana, I do it with the kid I babysit all the time. Perhaps because it's really funny to show him. I'm trying to capture people in a classic prank.
I would love it if I saw a banana peel and then just saw you and the kid you babysit like peeking over a bush.
We don't wait. We know it's going to work. We don't need to see it.
Hey, you guys want to play a bear game?
Yeah.
It's time for a bear game!
Bear, Matt and Urza Major.
All right, I'm looking at these statistics on Wikipedia for combined stats for black bear and brown bear fatalities in North America.
Sweet.
Keep in mind, I have prehistoric bears already on my Wikipedia.
That's fine.
In case of.
That will not help you.
Oh, good.
So, in 2011, there were a certain number of deaths attributed to black bears and brown bears. How many people do you think died in North America due to bear attacks?
9! 2.
No.
How many people
died of
bear attacks?
I'm going to go with 37.
Wow, so the high's in the 40s? You know what it is? 4.
Oh!
I win.
Did you guess four?
Two black bears in 2011, two brown bears in 2011. Now, what I would like you to do is, out of those four people, guess the median age of the person. Ooh. The average person that died from a bear attack. Their average age.
Average age?
Yeah.
22.
35. 8.
47.
22 to
25. You're talking median or mean?
I'm talking mean. In math 37. Terms.
17.
I'm
going to
say 8.
I'm
going to
say
28. 8. I got to go closest.
61.
Damn. Wow. So just old people getting fucked up by bears?
We have Lena Hollingsworth, age 61, in Pine Top Lakeside, Arizona. We have Bernice Adolph, age 72, in British Columbia. We have John Wallace, age 59, in Yellowstone, and Brian Matayoshi, age 57, in Yellowstone.
Old people be getting fucked up by bears.
You don't think that's like a bizarre method of like hippie suicide, do you?
No deal?
No one wants to get mauled.
I think it's horrible.
Yeah, it does actually.
Because there's this one place that I've frequently gone fishing with my father, and then you know sometimes other members of our family.
Are you keeping it a secret from us where it is?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I'm fine with it.
Okay.
But you are actively making it a secret.
No, it's Prolander's Island Lodge. You should go there. It's actually beautiful.
Oh, okay.
But they have the like you sleep in like a cabin and there's like a main lodge, and usually you'll just like hang out, you know, late in the night, and they have like small lights kind of as you walk back to your cabin, which isn't that far. But there's bears everywhere all over the lake, and it's on the smaller island, but it's connected to other places, so bears will just like kind of pass through it. And occasionally there'll be like a bear that just lives there. So whenever you first get there, you have to find out like, is there a bear I should be watching for? And it's hard because like you'll be getting out, you know, if you're just like hanging out after dinner, like having some drinks or whatever, and then you have to just walk back and constantly be looking for bears. So like if you're old and you're just, you know, walking down a path or whatever, and there happens to be a bear, you can't stop it.
But the main thing is that bears, they're not looking for trouble, right?
Some of them are, because, like, one time it was a mom that had, like, two babies, so you had to make sure, you had to look for the mom, but really you had to look for the baby bears, because if you got too near the baby bear, that mom would find you.
But they're so cute.
I like that the case that I'm looking at right now, it sounds awful, but it's great because revenge is wrought.
What? Oh.
This is Lena Hollingsworth, remember, age 61, from Pinetop Lakeside, Arizona. Hollingsworth was attacked by a 250-pound black bear while walking her dog at a country club. Sucks. Nearly a month later, and after 11 surgeries, she died from a massive brain hemorrhage. Sucks, which doctors believe was a result of the attack. The bear was tracked, shot, and killed. Because I guess I forget, if a bear is around your area attacking people, you kind of got to go hunt it down and destroy it, right?
Which bear's the bear, though?
It might just be the town bear.
See, like, that's the thing about, like,
well, they're bears, though.
The right to bear arms in this country. You're all welcome. Part of the fun part of the right to bear arms in this country is, like, if you live in those areas, like, you and the order goes out to go shoot that bear.
You can go shoot that bear.
First
come,
first
serve.
Well, this is.
Oh, I know.
Attention, members of Wilson County. Shoot that bear.
Come on, there, get your gun.
Everyone run.
But this other case from June 2011, a 72-year-old lady, she died of a bear attack, and it just says 5 suspected bears were killed.
What a bear hunt.
DNA test confirmed that one of the dead bears killed Adolf.
What?
You're killing innocent bears.
Well, that's the thing about it.
Families must be sad.
Their families.
Well, they got the whole family. Don't worry about it.
What's great about this is that human society gives everyone a free pass. If mm-hmm. there's a bear attack, humans as a society vote, okay, better kill them bears.
Yeah.
And then everybody just drops their morals because someone was killed.
They got one of our own.
It was like the cougar in Chicago.
Yeah.
It was like, it's standing right by the elementary school. I think it needs at least 13 rounds in it.
Wow. Yeah, jeez Louise.
You don't want to be the fucking guy who's like, nah, let's not kill the bear. And then it kills 2 kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you're the asshole.
Yeah.
Like, it's a better way of like trapping it and like getting elsewhere. I don't know.
You're right.
Sometimes
we experience cougar trappers in Chicago.
I mean, it would be hilarious if our police force
like
used awesome trank guns, but like that were super accurate and really far shooting and just as dangerous as a bullet.
They just had a big video that was hilarious last week of a bear getting tranked in a tree.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Oh, that's a classic video.
What?
A bear climbed into someone's yard's tree and so they put a trampoline under the tree and they shot a tranquilizer dart in the bear so that when he fell, he just kind of bounced.
Classic internet.
This is a fresh one. It just came out last week. But, I mean...
I'm actually seeing it came out in 2007.
Yeah,
I've seen that video.
The one with the trampoline, but there was one recently of a bear that had been...
Yeah, there are plenty of bears on trampolines. It's just, this is the newest one. I think that's what you have to do. But in Chicago with the cougar... We didn't really have people.
They're never under any trampolines. Is the problem?
LP, are you laughing because you're watching the bear?
I'm watching one of several.
But yeah, no, I'm with you, Brian. Like we have all these police officers, but there's no one who has like cougar control knowledge.
Animal control.
But they don't deal with cougars. Them. They deal with like raccoons.
I bet somebody might know something about it.
Yeah, but is that person going to get there before the children get out of school in 20 minutes?
It's
just a violent cougar.
And also, the Chicago police have a lot of shit to deal with. But, you know, if you let them ace a cougar, that makes those guys feel real good. It's a real morale booster for a bunch of, you know, really hardened Chicago cops.
What's awful is the article I'm looking at with the cougar mentions...
Can I just break it for 1 second? Should not have looked up Cougar Hunter Chicago. Because there are so many MILF porn sites that have popped up on Bing. It is it's really my fault.
Nick, which ones are your favorite?
I like a lot of them.
Is it CheekyChicago.com?
CheekyChicago's not a porn
site. It is not a porn site.
It's just Ron, my girlfriend, writes porn.
Yeah. How do you not know this? How do you not know that?
There's something called Cougar Hunting.
There now, is. The first thing is Chicago Cougar Bars. And so I figure all these ones are about cougars.
All I had to do was Google Cougar in Chicago, and I got it.
There's no porn sites on that first page?
I don't think so.
Did you Bing it or Google it, though?
Because
they'll be bugging.
That's true.
Mark, did you ever go
hunter?
To a cougar night when we were in...
No, Nick and I talked about it.
Oh, you talked about it, but you didn't
make
it.
Howl at the Moon as a deal. I think you. I don't know.
Or they used to. This was years ago.
It could still be there, but it was Tuesday. It was like Tuesday nights.
Oh, no.
Women over 35 get in no cover, and men with a college ID get in with no
cover.
Yeah.
So it's cougar night.
I think if I owned a zoo, I would have like special night hours once a summer and call them cougar nights, and just like there's just like all that we make all the cougars be awake. Awaken partying on the actual cougars, and they are put into one like similar location, still separated for like danger purposes, but then they're just sort of stimulated.
You should actually like allow, you know, free admittance for ladies over the age of 40.
Oh yeah, no, it's a whole cougar thing.
You know, it's like a thing for cougars. Juice boxes available.
Oh yeah.
Nick, what was that website you had a profile on?
What?
What was it?
Was it like Data
Cougar Town?
No, no, it was Data. I was a hit in Florida. I know that. It was Data Cougar.
Data Cougar.
Data Cougar.
No, it was.
Date a Cougar.
Cougar Love.
Cougar Love.
No, your. I thought your screen name was Cooglove 69.
God damn it!
Why did you put 69 at the end of
everything? You're brutal, man.
Because it's funny.
I
got Cougar
Love. I already used Relax Fit, and Roger Moore will rock the youth back into you at two different other sites.
This I'm on CougarLove.com, and this kid with this cougar is so happy.
Oh, no. Is that an actual dating site?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it.
It looks like an older woman dating site. Free sign up.
Cougar Love.
I'll go FAQ.
Wait, Tins, what were you going to say about the article about a real cougar?
Oh, I just enjoyed the way they phrased it. It makes it sound... Ugh. Okay, I just never thought I'd ever read this sentence. The 2-year-old male cougar may have quested more than 1,000 miles from the Black Hills of western South Dakota, only to die in a hail of police gunfire after it was cornered in an alleyway.
Oh.
A hail of gunfire.
Dude, I love it.
Like a hero.
That's the thing about like these cougar incidents in Chicago. I feel like it's a great morale booster for the police. It gives them
a great terror booster for elementary school students.
Imagine
being a school child. And then you hear that the cops have a cougar cornered.
And
you
hear a hailstorm of bullets.
Like, I, as a little boy, would just be pumped.
I would be fearing for my life, Brian.
Why? You're in the school
because
safe.
But then I hear, quote, a hail of gunfire.
Yeah!
Nearby.
In our junior high, they said that there was a clown that entered the building. And then we were on lockdown.
Did they hunt and kill him? wait,
a clown?
Like a hobo clown.
Oh.
But like actual.
Like an actual
like
homeless
hobo.
Man with makeup on.
Yeah,
terrorizing the kids.
The guy said he was a traveling clown, but like he was like super shady.
Now, when they made the lockdown announcement, what exactly did they say?
It's something similar to like.
There is a clown in the building.
It's horrifying.
The school is on lockdown.
That's never what I want to hear.
Yes, but in reality, I think like that was. It's like here's lockdown. And then you heard word on the street is a clown.
Yo,
anyway, mom. Relating to a cougar, like, if
whoa.
That's like a level...
Get to the basement, there's a clown loose.
Wait,
or so goes the word on the street.
Exactly. Well, I'm saying, like, that, if God. That, like, I was terrified for my life, and that's, like, level probably 3 compared to, like, there's a cougar on the loose.
What level is that?
It's, like, 9.
All right. How many levels are there in this rating
10?
System? All right.
It's pretty classic, yeah. So, did they ace that clown?
There was no hailstorm of bullets.
Did they find the clown?
Did they call the gym teacher but and he just kind of kicked him out?
But there was a clown?
Yeah, he entered the building.
And they caught him.
Yeah, like he didn't kill anyone.
Then what? But what happened?
Why did you assume
I want to know what happened. Yeah, surely there's a story
like,
here.
Walking around, like wandering for a while.
Nah, it's not enough.
Jerking off.
When did the police arrive?
Was he saying, did he ask anyone, like, where is room 230?
Yeah.
I have a demonstration. So it was a clown that belonged there?
He didn't belong, but he was, like, trying to be cool and tried to, like, justify...
Trying to give the kids cigarettes. Come on, be cool.
Did he have an axe?
Look,
how many axes did he have?
I'm just here to learn, like you.
I remember.
I mean, I guess if I were running a school, I wouldn't want some, like, random dude in clown makeup walking around uninvited. That's really creepy, right?
Like, can I help you?
No.
What are you doing here?
He's either arrested or removed or something.
Taken into an alley and shot.
Shot in the alley and they've lied.
I imagine that poor animal, the cougar, who came to Chicago. I imagine, though, that up until that moment, he had the most beautiful Disney movie-esque story. Because when he gets into the city, I imagine, he just, like, steals a loaf of bread and he's running and he meets, like, a dog and the dog and he are friends for a bit.
There's a play about something very similar to this.
Oh, yeah.
Robin Williams played it. And it was the Bengal tiger at the Baghdad Zoo. And it was when Baghdad fell, the tigers escaped from the zoo.
Oh, and Pride of Baghdad, yeah. Right? Is that the comic book?
What?
Is that what you're talking about? I'm sorry.
No,
it's
not
a Robin Williams thing.
Robin Williams played Pride of Baghdad?
Is that what it was called?
That's what it was a comic book. Based on the same thing.
Sense. And then they made a play on it?
I don't know if that's the case, or maybe the one came after.
Well, yeah, he was this tiger from the Baghdad Zoo that roamed Baghdad after it fell.
That's terrifying.
And the tiger just talked about, like, all the things he saw and what it was like, you know, crawling through this, you know, empty place.
God, that's so creepy.
And it was from a tiger's perspective, so he's like, oh, this building, whoa!
You know? This guitar! I sort of know how to play it!
Whoa! Really? It's Robin Williams, you know, he's, you know, being goofy.
Did the Bengal tiger ever stumble upon a golf course?
Likely, there were several golf courses around Baghdad.
Very popular vacation golf spot, I hear.
Well, there are in Dubai especially, but Baghdad ain't too far off climate-wise.
No, but it's pretty far off.
I'm so bad at golf! I'm so bad at golf.
Oh, well, Keith, I guess whether you're patrolling the streets of empty Baghdad or not, if you're bad at golf, you're going to need some of Cloud's golf tips.
Show up dressed as the Roadrunner. With orange flippers and feathers and all. Then, have a box wrapped with a Wile E. Coyote costume in it, including ears and tails. And one tail. Then, when your opponent approaches the golf course, hand them the box and say, "Open up." Of course, they'll put on the costume to be polite. Then, when they're about to make their swing... say, "You shouldn't have done that." Pull a chain and an Acme anvil will fall right on him.
This has been Cloud's Gardens.
You shouldn't have done that.
You should have
screamed that at them right before they die.
Just
you shouldn't have been polite to my gift. Murder. Oh my gosh.
We'll come back in the next episode.
As it so happens, this podcast is going to be released the Friday after it was recorded. We record on Monday; it's released on Friday, which means if you're listening to this, there's a very, very small chance that you are one of the famous people we're going to give a birthday shout out to.
What's the date? Give me the date.
Today, Friday, is May 4th.
Dude, I can't go out tonight, you guys.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Today's Star Wars Day.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
And Avengers comes out today.
That's right.
Well, happy birthday, Randy Travis. I hope you enjoy going to see the Avengers with your wife or girlfriend or mother, perhaps.
He's totally going to stay home and see if we mention him.
Happy birthday, Lance Bass, American singer, member of NSYNC. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars.
Happy birthday.
It's kind of a sparse one today.
Yeah, I'm looking for a good one.
You just go to deaths.
Happy birthday! No, there's Randy Travis again.
Michelle Martinez, former Miss America. I hope you have a great weekend.
Happy birthday, John Force, American race car driver. May the John Force be with you.
Happy birthday, Mike Dirnt. Musician of Green Day.
Nice.
I hope you have a good birthday.
And finally, happy birthday, John Madden. No, not you, famous John Madden. I'm talking about John Madden, ice hockey player.
Oh, he played for the Blackhawks, and I think he was on the Stanley Cup team.
That's true.
Oh, happy birthday, John. Way to go.
He was like a fourth line center.
All right.
Older fella.
Cool. Here. Oh, happy birthday, Will Arnett.
Got that in there.
Anybody got it in? Anybody die? Good. One death?
Yeah. Okay, well, to the family and friends of Dom DeLuise, I'm sorry for your loss.
Don't laugh.
Little too soon. I didn't. That was 2009. I feel bad about that one.
I love Dom DeLuise.
That's why we're wishing his family well.
He's so great in Cannonball Run movies. And, he's great.
He is great.
And he's also funny in Mel Brooks films.
And rest in peace, Mo Howard. Your legacy lives on, sort of.
Mo Howard.
Why I oughta.
And that brings us just about to the end of the podcast, folks, but not before we hear some of Nick McCullough's
seven words of wisdom.
Too many sharks. Get the ice cube.
This has been Nick McCullough's
seven words of wisdom.
It's been a long week, Nick.
There's
a guy named Cube.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Underberries.com.
I hope you learned about bears.
Bears.
Go run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.